Welcome to Prima's 2024 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Mark and Durko will discuss police and organizational behavior. How did we get here? Mark is a business development executive at Lexipol. We will also be joined by Prima's education coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. So to start, can you talk about some of the questions that police leaders and command staff are asking themselves on a daily basis?
Absolutely. So I'm going to begin with several key words that leaders think about on a daily basis and how they and their command staffs contemplate them. So I'll begin with trust, confidence, accountability, competency. Those are the cornerstones of how leaders in public safety sector, as well as specifically as we're law enforcement, think on a daily basis. Now, how does this all come together? I would say on a daily basis, police leaders, their command staffs, ask themselves the following question. How did we get here? Now, that question has a lot of meaning to it because that if you are a high-functioning, well-oiled organization, you want to ask yourself, what have we done to get here and what do we need to do to maintain this level? Conversely, leaders that are in a average performing or underperforming or challenged agency are asking them, again, how did we get here and what actions do we need to take to move ourselves a high-performing functional organization? So those are the basic pillars of thought process that leaders undertake to grow themselves to identify with the four offerings of trust, confidence, accountability, and competency.
Can you speak on the importance of leadership understanding culture and the impact it has on a police agency?
Yes, I can. So culture has everything to do with it, and understanding the dynamic that the culture brings is extremely important to tenured leaders as well as new leaders. So how do you take stock in what your culture is? Specifically, that if for most public safety officials, they grew up in those organizations. As you get to leadership positions, you need to understand the organization from the following aspects: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Your basic SWOT analysis. And stemming from that, you are going to understand what we do well for internal operations as well as external operations. And then once those key identifiers have been made available or are visible to leadership, what do we need to do to address them? And again, I go back to the initial offering is that organizations are building towards those four pillars for all stakeholders of the organization. That would be your internal, which would be your officers, your firefighters, all of your public safety people, as well as external, which are your community, your residents, your government leaders. And what I would add to that is that they are asking for and they should be given transparency into that viewing portal of where the agency is and where it's going to go. And I can't begin to tell you, and we don't have the time to go into the depth of it, but it is so important for organizations to identify their vision, their mission, and their core values. Because when people, well, we say the stakeholders, the stakeholders need to understand where the organization is going, and that's through their vision statement, Also, they have to understand how they're going to get there and what they represent. And those are really the truest pathways to understanding the culture, how to shift the culture to get to high performance, and also now how to change the culture and what needs to be put into place.
Were there any circumstances that brought this to light in your career?
I'm glad that you asked that. So in my bio, as I stated, that I have 28-year veteran of New Jersey Law Enforcement Police Department, retiring as a deputy chief. I speak to this in most of my leadership deliveries regarding as the challenges and also the successes of growing up in a department. Because what is so key in this is that how you view it, those filters that you view it through, and also now what you need to do to get a perspective on it once you get to a leadership position where you can really affect change. So I will go to a transformational incident that I was directly involved in, and it goes back to 2013. This is ultimately going to lead to the listeners of this podcast is the items that we take for granted a lot of times when we are dealing with people that are going to be invested in our organization. So let me go back to May of 2013. We were the agency and the command staff and I were directly involved in a behavior modification of an officer that we realized started as we started to really peel back the layers of the immediate event, we started to notice patterns and trends. And based upon the proximity of his work times, we felt that those were environmental conditions that may have contributed to this behavior modification. So, and in review of the incident in hand, a performance improvement plan was delivered, was created and then delivered to that officer, removing that officer temporarily from his environmental condition, sending him to a conflict resolution course, and then also for a fitness for duty. Because of the culture, because of the practices that came into play, that particular officer resisted the PIP. The action that followed is really unthinkable. So late in May, as my family slept at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened to, I'll just say it this way, I'm going to simply, without going into detail, that there was a fire outside my house. The fire was actually, the house was on fire, and it was what led to it. It was set at the front doorway on both sides of the door. At the time, my family, we woke up. I had two young children, an elderly mother who I was caring for, and we all got out safely, but unfortunately watched our house burn. From a law enforcement perspective, it's the stand outside your house and watch that happen to you is indescribable. What I will fast forward to is the officer that we were disciplining, or just say behavior modification, turned out to be the culprit in the setting of the fire. He was convicted in a court of law in New Jersey and is now serving a sentence of 17 years. So why do I bring this up? I bring this up because there are several key areas that public safety sector leaders need to pay attention to improve organizational development. And that it obviously is going to be people, training, their wellness, discipline, and effective leadership. I'll begin with people. as law enforcement agencies, not only in New Jersey, but across the country, we invest a lot of time, energy, and specifically money over an officer's career. It is so important that we get the right people in the right spots. Now, officers do go through a qualifying fitness for duty examination to make sure that they are fit to become a police officer. What I am saying to you in these practices is that depending upon the state and the report that is issued regarding that examination, is pay attention to the details of the personality details. Does that person that you are looking at possess the highest qualities for organizational development? Or are there indicators that they're going to be a problem by resisting people in leadership positions and just several dysfunctional personality traits that are going to identify them as a potential problem down the road? Now, I'm not saying that should be a full disqualifier, but what I'm saying is that if that person has the ability to move forward, then those are the key indicators that you have to pay attention to. All along the people process, as we onboard new people into the public safety sector, is that they go through field training. They go through several qualifying distinctions, which offer agencies the opportunity to either move forward, offer repetitive training, or discontinue the training and disqualify them from the position because they can't fulfill the basic functional needs of that position. And it is the leaders, it is those field training officers, it is those leaders to act upon those to develop the organizational continuity of best practices. Next would be, obviously, is the training of those people. How do we train people? Is that, do we provide them the best mechanisms of training? We're seeing a lot recently in the law enforcement community of people not staying with one agency as in years ago. They're transitioning to find a better environment. My question that leadership should be asking themselves is, what are they doing to commit to that person, to develop that person into that culture, and to grow that person? So obviously you look at your training program, you look at your leadership development programming, and what can now that individual see as a vision to grow as a positive member of that organization to bring it to its future. Taking care of people is certainly an important piece regarding this all the way through, not only from their infancy as a cadet, but also all the way through into retirement, demonstrates a vested interest by the organization that of caring and developing their people to their highest potential. What I have seen over the course of the time, and specifically to the incident that I mentioned before, is when we talk about discipline or behavior modification, is that a lot of organizations don't realize that minor offenses repeated over a period of time grow to other offenses that become more damaging. And the blind eye model, that if I turn a blind eye to those actions and I don't address them, not only does that person who should be addressed seeing that, but also too, there's an organizational effect on that where other people that see the lack of leadership addressing those types of actions also see that as well. And it's human behavior. So if I get away with it once, I'm going to get away with it again, or they're going to go back and say, well, that person got away with it. So what I want to frame for the audience here is understanding your role from a leadership position and what you need to do is that if you see something that is not going to align with the vision, mission, core values, and organizational goals, then you need to address it. I am not saying that everybody has to be dressed up and down, but you have to perform some type of behavior modification to align that person with the best standards and practices of that organization so that you can grow to what you want to be and also stay with and elevate to those core values which that organization espouses that you deliver on. And then lastly is leaders need to lead. And understanding that it does not come from one person up at top. There are leaders throughout the organization that have an important role and function. And it's not only when we talk about, the hierarchical piece of leadership, but when we talk about leading from all points of the organization, that officers have a responsibility not only to lead themselves, but to lead others. They also have the responsibility to point out when there is deficiencies or things that are not working from the operational environment and how to migrate those thoughts upward through the chain of command so that review and change can take place. Conversely, it's just not about delivering. It's not about thundering from the pulpit. It is also delivering that message downwards and follow through and understanding and somewhat of empathy when you're starting to deal with this. So what environmental conditions is everybody dealing with so that I can understand? So I, as a, we'll just say a people leader of multiple people, can really start to understand and frame what needs to be done. So going back to the beginning, if we start to look at the following, how did we get here? That question can be broken out into, do we understand the culture? I spoke about how to understand the culture and how to start to implement change if the culture is not aligned with what you want it to be from a leadership position. Is understanding that all of the stakeholders are important, the transparency of it all. And understanding that, go back to the other pillars that I represented as trust, competency, confidence, and accountability are desired by all stakeholders internally and externally from that public safety organization. If you start to have that, you start to have the conversation and the organization can grow from whatever point it is at, whether it is a high-performing organization, it can become better. If it is at a medium, it can grow to be better. And if it is at a low-performing, you can start to migrate that organization through systemic and continual events and also introduce different tools to that organization so that it becomes better.
Were there any red flags that gave any indication that the subject matter officer you spoke of would be capable of such an act from both an organization and individual standpoint?
So in a post-review of that, it's what I alluded to earlier in the conversation, is that in his psychological profile, there were certain indicators that revealed themselves after the event, well, upon review of that, that I pointed out that would be something to look at and something to consider during the hiring phase. And then also other leadership reviews of that officer that should have been taken into account that would have provided leadership. So I'll say certain mid-leadership reviews that would provide upward communication to leadership that there is a potential problem that is going on. And that also goes into the conversation of, we no longer in our profession can turn a blind eye or say that doesn't matter. Everything matters. Everything needs to be addressed in some format to either identify a potential problem that cannot be corrected or to take an individual, provide them the tools and the training to make them a productive member of the organization.
Based on this experience, Is there any other advice you would give to other police commanders and risk managers when it comes to identifying and dealing with problem employees?
I would. And I think I've really captured it in my previous comments. But what I would say is that every stage of employment in public safety organizations is important to pay attention to. Pay attention in the hiring. Pay attention in the field training segment of those individuals. Also, too, is that as they mature, and if they are maturing, are there any environmental conditions that cause change, and deal with that? That is where the wellness piece comes in. But really, for an organization to do its due diligence, it needs to do it at the entry level. That is the most important piece, where you have the ability to socialize that individual. And if that individual cannot be socialized into the vision, mission, core values, and best standards and practices, then that organization has to take steps to remove those individuals, because they will not only become a hindrance, but they will become a deterrence from you moving that culture forward.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.